the glorious, not the bastard, but the glorious filmmaker, Brendan Prowse. How are you, Brendan?
I'm doing a little rough. It's been a rough week, but I'm excited because we're prepping for the screening. So, but I don't want to lie to you. I hate it when people lie. How are you doing? Oh, I'm great.
Well, tell like it is. And Brendan, you're here because first of all, you are as they described you, an up and coming director, a 21. Are you still 21 years old?
I am still 21 for a little while.
Is that why I still smell that fetal tissue off you? I
think that would be why.
There you go. And you've produced other films before. Can we talk about them if we may really quickly? Just very quickly.
Sure.
Let's read them off you. The new one called
Chach.
I just want to say something else.
Yep.
Party Time, Generation Y, which you and I first met.
Mm-hmm.
Lingering, was that lingerie? Lingering. the Loser Disease, Fragments, Who Done It, and Blue Jay Way. And for you, for this, the Gotch.
Chach. I know, it's hard. Chach.
Oh my God. Could have been Gooch. Chach is having four screens, and that's why you're here. We're here to help. We want you to succeed because we know you got all the potential. And there's a screening on May 14th at the Uptown at 5 p.m. at the Globe Cinema. May 19th at
the Uptown. May 14th at the Uptown. Sorry. Go ahead.
Canyon Meadows, May 27th, 11:30 p.m. And back at the Globe on June 9th at 4 p.m. This is for them. This is for a film. What can you tell us about this film will shock the pants off us? Please.
It will shock the pants off. Yes. Well, it's about a character who seems to perfectly embody this Chach stereotype. And if you're not familiar with this stereotype, it's kind of a self-obsessed, machoistic, sexist kind of jerk you're used to seeing at the clubs all the time if you happen to go. And he seems to fill the stereotype really nicely, but really early on in the film, we kind of break down the stereotype and we suggest that he's actually kind of a sensitive, self-deprecating character who wants to change, who feels like this Chach persona that he has isn't an accurate reflection of who he is on the inside. So there's a struggle going on in him between the outer self that he projects to his friends and to the public, and this inner self that he wants to share with people, but he feels like he can't. So the film is really a character portrait of him over 6 days as he struggles and tries to change and is kind of undergoing a bit of an identity crisis.
From the trailer we saw online, it looks pretty intense. When I did meet you for Generation Y, that was pretty intense, pretty in-depth study there. Some of the reviews, the Independent Choice critics say Zach White's the lead actor for the film you're doing now, says his body language feel deeply birthed and painfully realized. They also go on to say sometimes simultaneously being repulsive and compelling is how they described it. Also, it focuses, Brandon from the SFU Student Filmmakers Review says, it focuses on the subtleties and the contradictions of the Chach. Why do I keep getting that wrong? Chach. Remember that? Chach.
Chach.
Chach. It's Chach. Okay. I think I'll have to give it a code word for tonight. Chach. For the Chach lifestyle. And also, from the SFU student maker says there's considerable amount of ad-lib dialogue that provides smooth and believable conversations and a verge of breakthrough as well, and they also called you a genuine filmmaker. I think you come across as very in-depth, personal a director who deals with personal demons, personal anything of you know, deep on the humanities. And the question is, I was going to ask you, are you hard to work with?
Am I hard to work with? I think my temperament has definitely changed as I've gotten older. I used to be, because it was such a, all my projects are so personal and they're so expressive for me, I'm very nervous about, you know, bringing in collaborators and letting them contribute in different ways. But I've kind of opened up to that more and more as I've watched different kinds of films and become a bit more flexible. So this project, I was definitely, I think, the easiest to work with, giving the actors the most amount of room, letting the movie develop as we were shooting a bit more. I think the biggest lesson I learned on this project was that, when you're filmmaking, there's certain times you want to have the tightest grip possible over all the elements of your production, and other times you really want to let your grip go and see what happens and let the energy and the spontaneity of the moment kind of go. So I don't know.
So is it birth? Is it painful? Well, the thing is, since you have such a heavy ad-lib style to it, which I'm assuming you encouraged,
mm-hmm.
Does that, like, do they ever get out of control? Do you think, no, you're ruining the direction, the potential direction? Or did the actors actually do the directing for the film?
No, I mean, there's definitely times when the actors are improvising that you have to scale them back, especially the four guys who play the Chotch Boys, who are like the main kind of group of these ugly characters. And basically they do most of the improvisation in the film, and they're such a great energetic, and the stereotype is so much fun, they would often kind of go nuts, and I would often be, okay, bringing it back, boys, bringing it back, let's keep it serious, keep it, because I wanted it to be fun for them, and I wanted people to kind of enjoy the caricature, but I didn't want people to kind of lose the gravity of, like, using this stereotype as a vehicle to talk about something else. I didn't want to make it seem totally ridiculous so people couldn't take it seriously. So I definitely, yeah, there was definitely a great deal of direction in terms of pulling the actors back a lot and guiding them.
With Generation Y, which I saw, I thought that you were, even though I thought you and I were talking in the green room there, I thought it was a critique on capitalism. Is this one a critique on anything in particular, or is it just a theme you thought this would make a great movie?
I think if there's a critique to be had, and I feel like it's much more expressive and exploratory than it is anything else. But if there is a criticism to be had, it's about the postmodern creation of the self and how challenging it is in the society we live in today to create an accurate representation and a whole representation of who you are on the inside. And that's for any number of reasons. I think we don't really explain how this character got to be this way in the film. It's really more about how he lives and how he feels. But I think there are a lot of, you know, interesting things about the way we live. Such a huge emphasis on how other people see us, and that really affects the quality of our lives. It really makes us feel very, very nervous about constructing a self and being honest, and that's kind of led to the development of what I would call a portfolio personality that changes in situation to situation. So, I think there's element of critique in it, but that's not really the motivation for making the movie.
So this is not an autobiography or anything for yourself? This isn't therapy?
I know, I actually feel like it, I wouldn't call it therapy, I wouldn't say it's like art is therapy, but it, like, there are certain parts of this film that are really actually very hard for me to watch now. There's a couple scenes in the movie where, you know, characters say things and kind of express certain emotions, and that I feel like come right from me. And I think, like, the interesting thing about this film is that, you know, people hear about the character and he's such like an ugly character and he says such kind of things that like absolutely vilifies anybody. But I think what's engaging about it is that there are elements to him that we can identify with. There are things about this character that I can so see in myself. And I think there's a commonality in feeling like who we are isn't accurately being communicated to other people that people are going to identify with. And yeah, so I don't know. Therapy is the wrong word, but No, it's hard for me to watch at times. I won't lie.
Well, was it ever easy? Was the first edit easy?
Oh, the first edit was excruciating. Like, trying to edit dramatic improv is like it's like pounding your head into the wall.
Well, it should be easy. By the way, just let people know, Brendan is also a fellow DJ at a sister station. What is the sister station called?
CJSF in Burnaby.
CJSF, really? What's the numbers of the station?
90.0. Now I'm going to get confused. You guys are 90.9. And we're 90.1.
And what is the name of the show you do?
It's called Sad Sack Serenade.
Which reminds me, we have a name tag for all of our guests at CJSW. I gave you one.
Oh, fabulous.
And what's your name according to the name tag?
My name tag says, hello, my name is Sad Sack.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm going to wear this to the premiere.
Oh, that'd be very... Very nice. Right here from Artsley. That's where it came from. Mike Thorne. Mm-hmm. Mike Thorne, he's been in several of your films. He's your favorite actor. I think he's your favorite actor. Is he the best actor in the world or the best one in his price range? You can tell me. You can tell us here at ArtsLink.
He certainly has the potential to be the greatest actor in the world.
But he's not the lead in this production. Zach White.
Yes.
Zach White. How does... Now, for this character who went through this changeover, this collapse of this and the, you know, the creation of the new Zach, the new character, I should say. How did you pick him, or did you know he had potential and he had to fit that character?
Zach was an obvious choice for me because obviously you had to get somebody who looks the part. So obviously, Mike was never a possibility. But Zach is fantastic because he's an actor who you can see the cogs working in his brain while you're staring at him. Even as a person, he's like that. He's not busy, but his eyes are very alive, and his body language, particularly in this film, reveals a great deal about his character. He internalizes a lot when he's acting, and it manifests itself very, very naturally in just like little tics that he does with his hands or the way he walks and things of that nature. So he's so perfect for this because he really doesn't have to say very much in this film, but he communicates a lot.
Well, just on the posters alone, look at him. Look at him on the posters. He just sits there and he looks at you like a, look at him. It's like a, who's that? Who's that guy? The James Dean. Is that the guy? That guy. That guy. He died last. James Dean died last year. Right. That's that guy, right? James Dean died last year. Just so you know.
And looks like
he died last year. Just so you know. And he did. He only did one film. And so that's what he looks like. Like he just in the look. Like this is, was that a planned look? You just think that everything about this looks like it's so deliberate, but yet. I keep thinking about this ad-lib function that went with the film. How, and the editing floor, the first edit, yeah. You know, how did you, so what do we see now? What we'll see on the screen, is that just the, how did, is that the, how do I say, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, like the translation, did it actually turn into that? Is that what you wanted? Is that what the people are going to see?
Yeah, you know what, you'd be surprised, even with all the improvisation, even with all the actors kind of making up their own reactions to things, which is, reactions are such a huge part of the film. The camera does a lot to really isolate certain things, and the editing does this as well because it's very in your face. It doesn't efface itself at all. That sounds like it's contrary, but it's totally not. The editing and the kind of the camera work really highlights certain moments, certain like symbols in the mise-en-scène that I think.
What did you say?
Symbols in the mise-en-scène. Was that super pretentious?
We don't have a dictionary here. I don't have Google Translate here.
Everything within the frame.
You know. I can't just say so.
Because I'm a film student. I'm a snob.
Oh, that's right. You were on the coast.
Yes, I am.
At Simon Fraser University.
Yes, that's true.
But that's not where you learned to do filmmaking.
No, I mostly learned to do filmmaking from actually filmmaking.
So what are they teaching you then?
They're teaching me to be better. Yeah.
Because you could have been better?
I can always be better.
Is this film better?
I would certainly say this is easily the best film I've made. And I think most people who've seen anything I've done would say, have said the same thing.
It's that smooth.
Yeah.
It's that perfect.
I don't know if it's perfect.
It's perfect enough.
It's in relatively speaking.
I keep seeing this word. It's the on a shoestring budget. This is amazing. You've done $13,000.
$1,300.
Commas are very important here on Art Slink.
People are going to expect something a lot different.
I'll have to talk to my research assistant, Chachi. We'll have to yell at him. Is that minus the cost of the camera, by the way?
Yeah, because we already had all the camera and the sound equipment. Really, the $1,300 is just kind of disposable stuff, hard drives, food, costuming, set pieces, etc.
With the catering, do people become malnourished on set with your films?
Well, usually, like, we were shooting for, like, such kind of short hours at a time because everybody was kind of working while we were shooting the film. We didn't often have time for meal breaks. Oh. So while they couldn't starve because we weren't shooting long enough, they didn't get fed all that often, I won't lie.
And used an official Final Cut Pro version. Final Cut program, right?
I use an official Final Cut.
Yes. You'd be surprised what people do today to make a good film. So, if we may, can we? Now you're saying about presentation structure, and I guess if we may, controversy. You did a film. You were saying about suicide.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I made a kind of a teen suicide drama.
Was that like a buzzkill for them?
A buzzkill for who?
It's, the people, like, they said, this is such a downer. Or it's so real, it's a downer.
I thought that the reaction to the film would be, you know, people would see it and like, kind of understand that this is a common thing that happens in high school. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among teenagers, among high school students, if I remember correctly. And 25% of all, you know, kids who die in that age bracket are, you know, die from suicide. It's not a rare thing. And what I wanted from the film was people would see it and kind of realize just how, you know, similar, that how everybody kind of shares these feelings of self-destruction, especially at that time. But, you know, the reaction often was like, man, I'm so glad that I'm not like that. I don't know anybody like that. It was a bit of a letdown, and it was not well received.
Really?
No.
But it was still a success.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't seen by anybody.
Well, a success excess for yourself. You actually, it took balls to do that.
I certainly wouldn't say, yeah, I took balls. I'm a real man. But
here's that party, Brendan, that's so deep. I mean, it's so deep that on your YouTube blogs where you're during the promotion, the making of Generation Y, you were almost beating yourself up.
Yeah.
In front of people.
Well, I kind of believe in like being really like transparent with the people who come to watch your film. Because one of the exciting things about independent film and do-it-yourself film is that you have this really direct line to your audience. So I think if you're, can I say
bullshite?
Yeah, if you're bullshiting your audience, they're not going to respond to that. The thing that they respond to about independent films is that it's so honest and it's so authentic. And I think you can create even more of that, and people can understand where you're coming from and understand, what meaning you've tried to inscribe in your film more if you do things like that, if you write blogs and if you do vlogs. And, if part of my, if feeling at that moment when I'm doing that is saying, wow, that really didn't go well. I was really disappointed with that. I want that to go better next time.
And you would reveal that online.
I would totally say that.
But you're very, as you're saying, very transparent. You're like this direct approach director, and people can tweet you and you tweet back. You like to tweetle people. And you would also say, I need my cat to lick the sorrow from my skin.
That's a Weaker Than song.
Weaker Than?
The Weaker Thans.
It's not personal philosophy. We should put in quotations next time.
I appropriated it for my own use. That's so weird that you were looking at that. I try and keep it mostly professional, but you got the one non-professional thing. I said, it's been a rough week for me.
So you want a cat to lick your sorrow. I get it.
Have you not heard that song?
No, I've never heard the song. I'm sorry.
It's called Plea from a Cat Named Vertute.
Okay, tell you what. Next week, we're going to keep promoting your films throughout the next four, is it 4 weeks? Holy cow.
Yeah.
You're going to keep going there. We will play the Weaker Than. So we will find this song, and we'll dedicate it to you. Is that okay?
I would love that,
And you'll wear the name tag at all your screenings.
I'm wearing it at the screenings, yeah.
And the first screening is this Saturday.
The big premiere, Saturday, May 14th.
And you'll be there? All the cast will be there?
Almost all the cast will be there. Somebody is in Spain. Can you believe that? Spain.
That's where your budget went to.
Yeah, we flew them to Spain. One guy.
Well, no, it's probably the guy you cut out of the film, for all I know. You don't want him to see.
No, he's one of the best actors in the film. It's sad he won't be there.
Good stuff. And I think maybe I was looking at the credits of some of the other guys. Maybe we'll pull them onto ArtsLink in the future. Hmm?
I would love that. Yeah.
We'll talk about you behind your back. Is that good?
Lord. Can you do that on the radio? Wow. Can I listen?
Okay. You're taking the fun right out of it, Brendan. This is great. It's great to see you again. It really is.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Again, you'll be back every year. Every year you do a film. You do two films a year. Three films a year.
Sort of. It depends on the year, I guess. Jeez. Only one feature film a year. I'll make that a rule. Only one. I'm not going to do a Fassbender.
All right. Good stuff. Brendan, thank you so much. Oh, there's a website. Where can people check you out, Brendan?
People can check me out on my personal website. Excuse the personal URL. It's brendanprost.com, BRENDANPROST.com. All the Chotch stuff is on there. You can find out all about our screenings and et cetera.
And pronounce Chotch better than I do, please, people. And again, it's now the end of ArtsLink, isn't it?
That's
the end of the show. And next week, as I was saying, we will be interviewing the people from Odafest. Yay! Manga, anime, people dressed in costumes, getting heat stroke in the middle of the university. That's coming.
And also, I have an interview with Kate Newby of the International Children's Festival.
And we'll also have Fairy Tales on, doing an interview with them, and let people know they do have these amazing necklaces. This mine says lesbian. You must always support your lesbians, even if you're not one. And as the joke goes, it's just like being an athlete. If you can't be an athlete, at least be an athletic supporter. My name is DJ Rat Bastard.
This is DJ Alan Chow.
And Brendan, say goodbye.
See you, everybody.
Wenn mal mein Herz unglücklich liegt, ist es